Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
From high atop the milk-packing district in the heart of beautiful Southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Big Jim Willig alongside the unsinkable Don Taylor, who is even, as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Sam Adams tells Occupy Portland they're going to close down the encampment. Celebrity chef Mario Batali compares Wall Street bankers to Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin. And Rick Perry forgets what agency he's going to get rid of in the GOP debate.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon.
It wouldn't be Legion of News if there wasn't just one minor cluster F to open the show. That sounded pretty good.
Hey.
I was surprised that everything is actually agreeing with me.
By the end of the week, we might have this down.
Yeah. Probably not, but it's nice that you have that kind of optimism.
I am ever optimistic, Jim Willig. If you've learned nothing from working with me for a week, you know that I am always a cheery ball of sunshine.
And I think that everyone should be just as optimistic as we are if you are not actually on the Rick Emerson death pool.
That's right. If you are not a celebrity and therefore not liable to die because he is on vacation, although fingers crossed, so far today, we seem to be clean.
I think it's just because his death sack is bloated. And
he's got too many bodies in the death sack, and he has to offload some first before any more will fit in.
It's just not going to – it needs some time to kind of digest.
He's like a reverse Santa Claus. Instead of bringing you gifts, he just takes away lives.
And I think that, so ultimately, as soon as – much like a cheetah, after they've fed – They will no doubt enjoy it another slaughtering here in the near future.
But as we mentioned earlier, though, somewhere Abe Vigoda and Five-ish Finkel are huddled in an underground bunker somewhere, terrified to walk outside because they know that Rick Emerson is still on vacation and therefore their days are numbered.
They're coming for you, Abe Vigoda.
Okay, well, here in Portland, Mayor Sam Adams announced at a Thursday morning press conference that the city will be closing down the Occupy Portland encampments early Sunday. Shortly after the mayor's announcement, protesters marched to City Hall and the doors of the building were locked as a safety precaution.
We don't want any of that change leaking in.
Yes, crowds formed outside City Hall and the doors of the building were locked.
Well, it's for people with jobs, people that don't need to protest.
Adams announced at 10 a.m. that protesters would no longer be able to camp at Chapman and Lansdale Square Parks, affected at 12:01 a.m. on Sunday. And then they went, so that's midnight Sunday night, bye! And they, boom, and just shut the door. And then Adams just scurried back into the darkness of the building so that no one could heave anything at him. Adams added that the Occupy Portland movement can still move forward with speeches and other events as long as they obtain the necessary permits. Because, you know.
Which is how all change happens. By following the proper channels, filling out all the apropos paperwork, and getting all your ducks in a row. And by then, they're just like, well, obviously, these people mean business. We should probably do what they tell us to.
Yes, because we in Portland like our protests to be civil.
Yeah.
And by the book, by the rules, as it were. We want to make sure everyone has the correct permit. Maybe a name badge that says, hi, my name is Dirty Hippie, you know, so that we can actually identify them by name. And that way, the
Dirty Hippie number two.
That way, the police officers can be more cordial to them.
Yeah.
Because they, oh, Steve.
I meant to pepper spray the other dirty hippie who meets your criteria.
There are so many of you here named Justin. I was unsure who I wanted to kick in the face with my boot. I'm sorry.
Can I get all the Justins to the left side of the mob, please? Thank you. Those with torches up front, pitchforks in the back.
Adam said, we have sought to be as supportive as we possibly can, but I cannot wait for someone to die in the camp. I cannot wait for someone to use the camp as camouflage to inflict bodily harm on someone else. He may have a point there.
Wait,
I guess.
He said he can't wait, as in, like, he can't allow that to happen, or he can't wait. I can't wait for someone to die in the camp.
I can't wait for someone to die.
It's so awesome.
I've been waiting. What's wrong with you people?
Well, yeah, Rick doesn't like to kill where he lives. I think that this is
also they discovered that lack of that removing sanitation facilities is really a slow way to kill hippies.
Yeah,
that is the long, slow hippie death.
When I saw in the news they were talking about the locking up of the public bathrooms and how like one brosif. Who they talked to was just like, if it comes down to, like, you know, going in a bag and then, like, just throwing that in the garbage can, I'll totally do that. To which they cut to, like, and human waste has been found in garbage cans. Obviously, like you said, this is not the way to bluff a hippie.
No.
If anything, like, if they kind of, like, dropped job applications from a building nearby or, you know, offered, you know, discounts at Old Navy, this is a way to disperse a group of hippies.
Right.
Yeah.
Just hey, hacky sack game over there.
Yeah. Down in front.
Police Chief Michael Reese said the Bureau has drafted a tactical plan that will be deliberate and methodical, but he would not give specific details. I'm sure we can imagine what that plan will be. It's they come in, they say get out, the cops stand there in their riot gear, then the tear gassing and the beatings ensue.
Yeah.
I think we know the plan. He says, quote, we are hoping for a very peaceful resolution.
I think you're right the first time, a very peaceful revolution.
Revolution. That may include arrests, but Reese said the Occupy Portland campers will get a great deal of support and guidance ahead of time to prepare them for the change. Adam and Reese said that they're bringing in movers, I guess. they're hiring that starving students company to come in and help dismantle the tents and box things up for them.
You know who's not doing anything right now? The Maytag repairman.
That's right.
He could show up and help.
Yes. I think Amanda Fritz is probably free now that Adams is back. What's she doing?
Yeah. Who was the guy that was going to be hosting the Oscars this year?
That would have been Eddie Murphy, but Brett Ratner was going to be the producer.
Brett Ratner
could come down.
Obviously, his schedule mysteriously has opened up.
He could help pack up their patchouli and their soy products.
Can you imagine what that's? It's going to look like. Remember the documentary about Woodstock, and then once it was over, they just kind of like panned over the desolation. This is what free love looks like. This is the residue of free love.
Adams and Reese said the crime problems have climbed in the area in and around the camps, prompting them to create this deadline. Adams said, in the past few days, the balance has tipped. We have experienced two very serious drug overdoses where individuals required immediate resuscitation in the camp. Adams also cited Thursday's arrest of a man in the camp who allegedly made a Molotov cocktail and threw it at Portland's World Trade Center, igniting a small fire.
Trying to figure out what the purpose of that statement was. You know, I mean, is it that, you know, we're reaching into the by any means necessary bag of tricks? Or is this guy just like, well, I brought all these Molotov cocktails. I haven't gotten to throw one. You've been here for almost a month now.
You've got like this little round Martinelli's apple juice bottle.
Yeah.
And some lighter fluid. You know, and, you know, we have something here in Portland that's called the World Trade Center.
Ooh.
I'm thinking I got a plan.
All right, let's go with Gary on this one.
Gary is all over this.
When it comes to enacting change, Gary's our man.
By the way, I want to thank everyone for listening today and for being patient with us yesterday.
Yes.
We had an interesting moment when we came in yesterday morning to do Legion of News where I was sitting here doing my work. Jim came in. Dum-dum-dum-dum. We checked the mics.
That's
mics.
The sound I make when I walk, by the way.
And you can't see what I'm doing, but I was doing that little hustling businessman thing. Of, here I go. I'm off to work. I was doing that. And so he had his hat and his briefcase. I'm off to the train to go into the city to have my job.
Like an episode of Mad Men.
Yes.
I came in here.
And so then he went to the laptop and he booted everything up, turned things on. We checked the mics. Mics were fine. Turns on the stream and we heard two shows playing simultaneously over top of each other. Didn't know why. couldn't figure out how to make it stop, turned one off. The other one kept playing, but we couldn't figure out what was playing or where it was coming from.
Yeah.
So we called our technical guru, Thomas Gill, and I waited for his inevitable. I got the sigh. I'll look at it. And then I waited for him to come in and just tell me.
I work for
all
monkeys.
All you have to do. So we did the thing. We were like, did you push this? Yes. Did you push the broadcast button? Push the broadcast button. Okay. No, that doesn't change it. All right, I'll get in there. So he gets in. He logs in remotely. Looks around. Then finally I talk to him and he says, I don't know why it's doing it either. And Jim and I are both like, yes, not our fault. Yes. So we managed to get everything going and working. And
don't be jinxing it, though.
Somebody did ask, what was with that double show thing? I don't understand the technicality of it, but it was, value, basically. You were getting twice the show for the same money.
So we understand that when Rick's not here, that there's an element to the shows that do air that is it's missing like the retzen of the certs that is the show. Without Rick Emerson's retzen, there is an element that you feel is lacking. So how we decided to get around that was we would just play both shows at the same time, kind of overloading you with all the other herbs and spices that Don and I can bring to the table.
Yeah, it's like it's like sort of condensing extra joy into the same amount of time.
So and, I didn't hear any thank yous, which was weird, but that's fine.
Well, someone actually is saying, well, again, I say Big Jim, you bring chaos. So there we go.
Well, yeah, I guess if we are, in fact, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, Rick Emerson, clearly Angel of Death, I will be chaos. Who would you like to be, Don
Ooh,
Taylor?
Could I be Pestilence?
You can totally be Pestilence.
That's my favorite horseman, is Pestilence.
Well, when you were in high school, did you like have your like locker sort of like dolled up in all like Pestilence
would,
from like the
I would
New
write
Testament?
Mrs. Pestilence on the front of my peachy folder.
Don Taylor hyphen Pestilence. Sometimes I'd spell the hyphen.
Right.
Very nice. Well, it's always good to have heroes to look up to.
Every little girl has to have a dream.
Tiger Beat Magazine, win a date with Pestilence.
Well, speaking of Rick Emerson being on vacation in Mexico, Mexican police found the decapitated body of a man left in the border city of Nuevo Laredo Wednesday at the same monument where the corpse of a woman purportedly killed in retaliation for her postings on an anti-crime website had been left previously. A photo of the scene indicates the man was killed for reporting criminals on social media sites, raising fears drug cartels are increasingly targeting bloggers and making us wonder if, indeed, Rick Emerson is using Facebook while he's in Mexico.
Those that are listening that are worried that our own Rick Emerson has been brutally destroyed by some corrupt drug cartel while on vacation, I would like to ask you all to just relax, take a deep breath, and realize that the reason why this person was killed is because they were reporting on the deaths.
Right.
Obviously, Rick Emerson is the kind of gentleman that could kind of witness a brutal murder and never say a word of it to anyone ever again.
Also, if he was on the Facebook, all he'd be doing was saying things like, here's a picture I took of this weird tchotchke, or I almost got bit by a monkey. You know, he really wouldn't be reporting on drug cartels.
No, no.
So he said, I just thought of this amazing thing about AC/DC. So, anyway, the officer would not discuss the content of the message that was found at the scene, but a photograph posted on the blog shows a handcuffed man lying on his belly on top of a bloodstained message and a chopped head nearby. The message reads, quote, this happened to me for not understanding that I shouldn't report things on the social networks.
Well, at least he was thorough in his note.
That is a long, usually, remember the days when they just stick a canary in a guy's mouth?
Yeah.
Now it has to be, this happened because I was going on the internet and posting on a blog, and therefore I have been killed. It takes a lot longer to explain why someone's been beheaded.
Yeah, anymore. People don't get metaphor anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't get the subtle use of imagery. They have to be kind of spoon-fed. Death and murder and the like.
Well, the message claimed that the man, who was identified by his nickname Rasca Tripas, which means belly scratcher.
That was my nickname in high school, too.
Belly scratcher?
Veniska, whatever.
Rasca Tripas.
Rasca Tripas,
it means belly scratcher. He was the moderator of Nuevo Laredo en Vivo, a website used by the city's residents to denounce crime and warn each other about drug cartel gunfights and roadblocks.
And what a good job they're doing, too.
The gruesome killing may be the fourth since September in which people in Nuevo Laredo were killed by a drug cartel for what they said on the internet. The decapitated body of Maria Elizabeth Macias who was known as La Nena de Laredo, or Laredo Girl, was found at the site in September with a message that said she was killed for her reports on the website. The message was signed with the letter Z, which refers to the violent Zetas drug cartel. Or maybe Zorro.
Yeah.
Earlier that month, the bodies of a man and a woman were found hanging from an overpass in Nuevo Laredo with a message threatening, "This is what will happen to troublemaking internet users," also signed with a Z. So,
What do you think will happen if when Rick comes back and he's, because what he's seen down in Mexico has changed him, he becomes like this political activist, you know, and there's a lot of like imagery of him as like the new like revolutionary leader.
He comes back and he's wearing hemp sandals and one of those like necklaces of wooden beads.
Puka shells and
a friendship bracelet, woven for him by a little girl in a Yucatan village. And he says, "I've decided to give up podcasting to go down to Mexico and dig wells so that my new friends can have clean water."
Really? Before you go, would you like a slice of the stuffed crust pizza? Sure, I did one bite and there you go.
Yeah, here's your Vizo. What the hell was I thinking?
Good. Thank you, Don Taylor. I don't know what I'm paying you, but triple it.
Well, a con man tricked a victim into buying an iPad, which turned out to be a bag of potatoes. Police in Batley, England, are now asking people to contact them if they are approached by anyone selling electrical goods in the street. The iPad / potato sale happened on October 24th when a 31-year-old man was tricked out of £200 when he paid for an iPad that turned out to be, yes, a bag of potatoes. The victim was on Dark Lane, which right there, do not do nighttime transactions on Dark Lane.
At around 4 p.m. A lot of cloak and dagger activity going on Dark Lane.
He was approached by a man who offered him the iPad. The price of £200 was agreed, and the men drove to a nearby cash machine on Commercial Street, where the £200 was exchanged.
Next to a produce stand.
For a black laptop bag that the victim believed contained the iPad. It was not until after the victim left the area and opened the bag that he discovered it contained some potatoes. The suspect was potatoes aren't even the same shape as an iPad.
Well, the potato, I'm sure he told
wouldn't
him, like...
The rattling around of the potatoes rolling around, wouldn't that have, like, you know...
been a dead giveaway? Well, perhaps...
And Chaftastic Jinx weighs in to say, "Dear sir, you are too dumb to own an iPad." So...
"However will I get my Calvin and Hobbes comic strips now? Curse you, potato thief!"
He was in England, though. I don't think his voice sounded like that at all.
Well,
he said, "I say, this seems to be filled with potatoes."
My word. What a rough scallion has absconded with my £200.
I have been hoodwinked.
I say, good day, sir. Tempers turn out.
Constables! Constables! Immediately. So yeah. The suspect was a chubby white man in his 40s who had dark blonde hair and an Irish accent.
Really?
Police are urging people not
to... So you're looking for an iPad?
I think he was a leprechaun.
Yay. Hi.
He was tricked by a leprechaun.
From Dark Lane.
Police are urging people not to give money to strangers for goods that they have not checked or ever seen.
Or tasted.
PC Teresa McCarter of the Batley Police said, "It should be common sense to check that you're getting what you pay for, but as a similar incident to this one in Bristol took place in the summer, we are warning people to be wary of accepting deals that seem to be too good to be true."
Maybe they were trying to convince them, like, well, the potatoes act as a moisture-wicking type of material, so as to keep the iPad from getting overloaded with wetness.
Yeah. Moisture is very bad for your iPad, so we pack it with potatoes.
Yeah. I could only imagine this guy being coming home with a sack of potatoes, showing it to his significant other whom he lives with, the other person becoming so enraged, they throw the sack of potatoes out the window. Of course, the next day he wakes up, huge potato stock going up into the sky, and then there, you know.
And then he gets to fight the giant and bring home the treasure, and who's the fool now?
Yeah.
Indeed. So
tracking the potato stalk.
So we'll be following the story
as it develops
with the
giant potato stalk has now grown in a small shire just outside of Dark Lane.
Okay, I'm trying to access my sound. I'll wait on that. Herman Cain was asked during Wednesday night's GOP debate about the sexual harassment claims that have been threatening his campaign. That was expected, of course.
What?
Well, somewhat less expected. The Republican crowd at the debates booed the CNBC moderator for asking the question.
Wow, really?
Maria Bartiromo's question that drew the crowd's ire was, you know that shareholders are reluctant to hire a CEO where there are character issues. Why should the American people hire a president if they feel there are character issues?
Boo.
And they booed. And then character's response, which made the crowd cheer, was, the American people deserve better than someone being tried in the court of public opinion based on unfounded accusations.
Unfounded accusations. So would those be accusations that you paid how many hundreds of thousands of dollars to settle on?
Yeah, the settlement payoffs are not accusations. They actually, you know.
Clearly this didn't happen, but I'll pay you all this money if you agree with me never to speak of it ever again.
Yeah. I'm trying to, I'm doing like 14 things at the
same time. Probably some ugly chicks are the ones that kind of, they're the ones that have the problem.
That's
always the way. Because Senator Kaine didn't come on to them, that's why they suddenly have an issue with him possibly running for president. Is your laptop not?
I lost a file like on my desktop and I'm like going, come on, there's only so many places it could go. It's my desktop. So, okay, there we go. Thanks.
You got to check the cursor fluid, make sure that you're not running low.
Damn cursor.
You know,
fluid.
I have this sack of magical potatoes that could fix your laptop. Dude, sweet. And they taste delicious if you julienne them and you throw in a little bit of rosemary.
Listen. Okay, so anyway, the audience also reacted with audible boos when another moderator asked Mitt Romney whether, as CEO, he would have fired someone who was accused of the same thing that Kaine had been. And Romney said, Herman Kaine is the person to respond to these questions. And he just did. And that drew a round of applause.
What
is wrong with these people? They don't deserve a president.
No.
That's the thing. It's not even a matter of, you know, whether or not we should have a Republican president. If they're going to act like they don't deserve one.
Yeah, I think they should be forced to live in a small tent village for a while where they kind of govern over themselves.
Meanwhile, elsewhere in the debates, people are now predicting that Rick Perry may have shot himself in the leg as presidential contender. Texas Governor Rick Perry couldn't remember the third federal agency that he has pledged to eliminate because it is such a scourge on our fine union here.
Oh, they know who they are.
Perry was discussing, can we pot up the sound here?
You are potted up.
Yes. Perry was discussing his jobs plan and his flat tax plan.
Agencies of government, when I get there, that are gone. Commerce,
one,
education,
two.
And the, what's the third one there? Let's see.
That's funny.
Oh,
it's funny
five.
He doesn't
okay.
know what he's talking
so,
about.
Commerce, education, and the...
EPA?
EPA, there you go. No,
EPA.
Let's talk deposition.
Seriously?
Seriously?
Yes, that's moderator John Harwood from CNBC saying, seriously? Because that was Romney who was being that. EPA?
Just gonna...
come on, say you want to cut the EPA. do me a solid here.
Just lobbing a little bit more rope in his direction. He's like, good news, you're tying. Looks pretty nice.
You, I think you said you wanted to skin puppies alive.
Oh, darn you, Perry.
Darn you, Mitt Romney. No, that wasn't it. You said it. No take backs. So... anyway, so...
Senator Kaine's just like, what a loser.
So, yeah, so Harwood then asked him to clarify that, okay, is that it? The EPA? Is that the third one?
Is EPA the one you were talking about? Or?
No, sir. No, sir. We were talking about the agencies of government. EPA needs to be rebuilt.
But
there's
you
no
can't,
doubt about
but
that.
But you can't name the third one?
The third agency of government, yeah. I would do away with the education, commerce, and let's see, the third one I can't, sorry, oops.
And I think it's Ron Paul is the one who's standing over there next to him just going, oh my,
oh
you
my.
Can hear him in the background just go, oh my, he just realizes that, I mean, I'm Ron Paul. I'm old and crazy.
But I'm not that old and crazy.
And I haven't effed up this badly.
Is it, without the benefit of video, could you play that, just that last clip one more time?
Sure.
Give me a little bit more of that.
Is EPA the one you were talking about? Or?
No, sir. We were talking about the Agencies of government, EPA needs to
and
be
yes, he
rebuilt.
Does sound exactly like Matthew McConaughey.
That. Thank you. That's who I was trying to think of.
The third agency of government, yeah. I would do away with the education, commerce, and let's see.
I mean, his opponents are helping him. Commerce? He said commerce.
He said commerce.
Oops.
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 All right.
A few minutes later in the debate, Perry remembered the third department was the energy department. He said, by the way, it was the Department of Energy I was reaching for a while ago, he said with a chuckle.
It's when a shame
he
was it wasn't education.
Following the debate, Perry acknowledged the moments was embarrassing. He said, I'm glad I had my boots on tonight because I sure stepped in it out there, he said. And then he said, I'll tell you what, I named two more agencies of government than what the current administration has talked about getting rid of, and energy just wouldn't come out. Anyway, those three agencies of government, education and energy and commerce, are part of it. The bottom line is I may have forgotten energy, but I haven't forgotten my conservative principles. And that's what this campaign is really about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michelle Bachmann sympathized and said, We all felt very bad for him, she said. So believe me, I know what it's like to say crazy, stupid things and to have people look at you and go, huh?
One time I was on the TV and I forgot my crazy, stupid pills and I just didn't feel right at all.
The gaffe is likely to reinforce an image of Perry as someone who is often at a loss for words and who likely would be unable to go toe-to-toe with President Obama in debates next fall if he were to win the Republican nomination.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear that, and then you imagine him, like, having to debate Obama. And it's like, no.
Yeah, shades of Kennedy and Nixon kind of going at it. He just sitting there, like, sweating profusely in the microphone.
He is saying, though, that he's not considering this any kind of a setback in any way at all. So
you got to almost admire the spinability. Like, it's almost like, okay, how bad can we screw up and then try and kind of pull it out and throwing nothing but doubt on and muck on everyone else, completely negating. I liked how he was in that debate when he's just like, well, yeah, the energy thing needs to be rebuilt.
EPA.
The EPA needs to be rebuilt. How he's desperately trying to clasp onto something else, but he's quickly reminded, you can't remember the third thing. Is that correct? And he's just like, yeah.
No, wait, it's, let's see, I had this memorized before. Energy, commerce.
Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, curious, kind.
Nick2, Barada, necktie.
It started with an N. Yeah. No energy. Crap. All right.
Let's do our science.
You want to do science on the march?
I do.
See how quick I am?
Oh, man. Rick Emerson never needs to come back. First, you bring donuts. Then you just bring joy.
Yeah, for the rest of the week. When I'm not weeping openly into the microphone, like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Blessed with a hidden chamber in their oversized skulls, extinct giant beavers may have created a unique ice age call of the wild.
Interesting.
Detailed CT scans reveal a dead-end passageway leading from the back of the animal's skull towards its face. That chamber connected via a long, narrow slit to another passage going straight through the beaver's skull from his throat to his nose. This was found by vertebrate paleontologist Caroline Rinaldi, who reported it November 2nd at a meeting of the Society of Vertebrate Paleontology.
They party hard.
She said, I don't know of any other animal that has this. Estimates of how big an animal the beaver Castoroides ohioensis was.
Ohioensis.
It was probably found in Ohio.
Probably.
That's how they name things. It's not very clever sometimes. We got the Latin, we got the place. That's how we name it. It ranged from a sizable 60 kilograms on up to the bulk of a modern black bear. That would be a beaver the size of a bear.
Oh, my God.
The last giant...
I don't believe they exist.
Unless you're a Kardashian. The last giant beaver died
I'll marry it right now. I don't care.
Let me tell you about giant beavers, sister. The last giant beaver died roughly 10,000 years ago, about the time many supersized creatures of the last ice age went extinct. The beaver's closed at the nose, partial airway doesn't seem useful for breathing, Rinaldi said. She and her colleagues speculate the giant beavers whooshed air through it to create sounds. What those sounds were is another puzzle. Rinaldi arrived at the paleontology meeting with a plastic model of the giant beaver's inner airways, created using data from the CT scans. She could be coaxed to blow into it. That now that's a presentation I wish I could have been at.
Yes.
Producing a bleeding...
Rick Perry is now going to play the beaver flute.
Bleeding, producing a bleeding sound reminiscent of a student's first attempt at playing a wind instrument, Rinaldi lamented, "Sadly, we don't have the soft tissue." her best guess, she said, is that the animal closed off the back of its complete airway and forced a breath through the dead-end passage. Air sped up when pushed through the slit, and soft membranes there may have created vibrations like the reed of a wind instrument. So, giant beavers, the size of bears, which make sounds like clarinets. That was the Ice Age.
I think that just replaced the man-bear pig in my nightmares. Thank you.
Have you seen the Rick Pig baby?
Yes, I have, actually. Okay. I've got the T-shirt.
Ah. So, speed bumps don't seem like a very good idea. Most people really don't like them. They're annoying.
Yeah.
Sometimes you think it's harming your suspension. But a company named New Energy Technologies begs to differ. They have designed some speed bumps that motorists should be happy to drive over, Jim Willick. Besides slowing down speed demons as cars and trucks drive over the company's motion power strips, kinetic energy from the vehicles is harvested and converted into electricity. New Energy Technologies envisions the devices powering street and building lights, roadway signs, and potentially electronics and appliances in homes and buildings.
The company, for a tenth of a second while a car drives by.
Well, but if you've got a lot of them and a lot of cars are driving over them, and if it's harvested and then transferred to like a battery,
yeah,
then you could, you know.
But then it's only as good as the fossil fuels of the vehicle that are being used to power it in the first place.
Stop harshing my speed bump buzz.
Or could these cars be driven by giant bear-sized beavers? That'd be even cooler.
Well, okay. That would be the dream.
That's my chauffeur.
This is
Bucky.
A giant beaver. That's the only noise he can make.
Wah. Wah.
He likes you. The company recently displayed the motion power strip at the Roanoke Civic Center in Virginia, where stopped vehicles lit up a series of lights. According to New Energy Technologies, 580 cars drove over a motion power strip in a six-hour span and generated enough electricity to power an average U.S. home for one day.
Hmm.
The company says the strips would be best suited for installation where vehicles are traveling faster than 15 miles per hour and are slowing down before stopping. Parking lots, border crossings, exit ramps, neighborhoods with traffic zones, rest areas, toll booths, and travel plazas were all mentioned as potential locations for the strips.
Hmm.
When it comes to advances in technologies that can aid the visually impaired, many developers are incorporating Microsoft's Kinect as the common denominator in many of these emerging devices. Japanese company NSK, along with the University of Electrocommunications, have designed a robotic guide dog that utilizes a Kinect sensor to visualize its environment and navigate the owner around, up, and over obstacles. On flat surfaces, the four-legged robo-dog glides along wheels instead of paws. Using its hind legs, the computerized canine can even climb up and down stairs. The wheel paws also contain sensors that alert of obstacles. Putting pressure on the device's handle tells the robotic guide to lead the way. A synthetic female voice informs the user of his or her environment. The device is still in the research and development phase, but future versions of the robotic guide dog will include voice commands and GPS for more precise navigation. If you find yourself in Tokyo this week... I won't, but who knows? You might be in Tokyo. You can see the RoboDog at the International Robot Exposition, and where it will be on display until November 12th.
Nice. Anything that's robotic that isn't spider-shaped, I'm all for, especially if it's there to help.
What if it was like a giant beaver the size of a bear?
Totally.
That was going at
I'm
you.
Totally fine by that.
Really?
The beaver shape I find calming. Obviously, the big flat tail reminds me of waffles. So clearly, any animal with that kind of a attribute, no issues at all. Anything that's got eight legs of nightmare coming at me, yeah, kill it with fire.
Now, how about the nutria?
Nutria are
adorable beaver head, slimy giant rat body.
Yeah, that's like a weird like centaur almost, like a beavtar of some kind of beav. Beef rat hybrid.
Yes. They are horrible. And they have huge Cheeto-colored teeth.
Cheeto-colored
teeth? They're orange. They have orange teeth. They're the color of Cheetos. And if you go to the, there's both a McDonald's and a,
Sherry's?
What is it called? No, it's the seafood place.
Long John Silver's?
which is it called? I don't know. But anyway, in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. right along the highway there, there's a little wetland bridge that they had to do. And people feed French fries and things to the nutria because they find them adorable. And there's, McGrath's Fish House.
Yeah.
And there's a restaurant there. And if you go there, you get out of your car, they will come clambering up the bank out of the marsh and walk up to you and stand on their hind legs. And then they will come up about waist high because they're huge, and they will just stare at you and they're slimy and wet, and they've got those huge orange teeth. It'll stare at you like going, "Give me a French fry," and it's horrifying.
Being shaken down by this creature for your French fryer, your pocket snacks.
They are. You know how creepy it is when geese get really pushy at a park because people feed them. Well, imagine a toddler sized wet rat with a beaver face. It's just coming right at you. Hey, you look like a guy who has food. Lumber, lumber, lumber. It's like, get back, evil swan.
You diabetic beaver.
Set it on fire.
No, I've actually been to the Sherry's that's out there by the...
it's the same shopping plaza.
Yeah, and I was outside smoking a cigarette, waiting for the rest of my friends to finish up. And there's a guy there with his like maybe 7-year-old daughter, and he's instructing her on how to feed a French fry with its tiny flesh covered fingers to this, like you said, Cheeto teeth maw of doom.
It's a wild animal.
Yeah. Then there's other, it's not like you're trying to give like a treat to a dog.
No.
This is something that could very easily just like come at you and like, well, that's where the 0.5 comes from in the 2.5 children, I guess, in this country.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was so horrified by the nutria. I wrote a story about the nutria when I worked at the Clackamas Review and then got a lot of crap for it. That's a completely different story. But I was so freaked out by the nutria that one time I came into work. My coworkers, mainly Mike Russell, would do these things like I would come into work and I'd boot up my computer and he would have like taken, say, a really scary clown picture and made it my desktop that would just like be like all of a sudden, ah! And there it would be. They did that with a nutria once. I came into work, booted up my computer, sat down, screen lit up, and it was just a nutria staring at me and it freaked me the hell out.
See, now I got to Google image search the nutria, see if I can't find something equally disturbing.
Well, in other science news... Earth is set for a close encounter, wasn't set for a close encounter Tuesday evening. I'm guessing it didn't happen. A 1,300-foot-wide asteroid, which was the largest asteroid we've seen since 1976, was coming, you know, close-ish to Earth.
Yeah.
Which means that, you know, it was within like 200,000 miles. It wasn't like, you know, you couldn't see it like over your house or something. But it did not plummet to Earth. It did not kill us. We did not have some kind of, you know, we didn't have to send Bruce Willis and Billy Bob Thornton up in a missile. But
I was going to say, did anyone thank Bruce Willis? Because at this
point, Rick Emerson did not kill us all with an asteroid. Thank you. But NASA has released a short video of the 1,300-foot-wide asteroid, which came within 202,000 miles of Earth this week.
Hmm.
The video was made using radar data obtained by NASA's Goldstone Solar System radar. At the time, the asteroid, which was known as Asteroid 2005 YU55, why don't they just give it a name? Call it Steve. I don't know. But it was roughly...
Asteroid Steve.
It was roughly 860,000 miles away from Earth when they videotaped it. But I guess you can go to the NASA website and you can see the asteroid that didn't kill us on Tuesday night.
Let's play the game where, you know, it gets announced that giant planet-killing meteor is heading this way. What does Dawn Taylor do in her last week before the rock hits?
Wow, really?
Yeah.
What does the last thing? Well, let's see. I can think of two people off the top of my head that I would have sex with because I mean, you
at
know,
the same time,
if possible. I mean, hell, if we're all dying from asteroid, maybe they'd go for it. So there's that. I don't know. You know, I try to live each week like it's Shark Week. So I pretty much
no one's life is that awesome that every week is Shark Week.
I don't really have what they call the bucket list. Honestly, you know, if I'm gonna die, I mean, what's kind of I don't understand really the point.
Yeah,
it's like I think most of the time we do things yes, we do it for the immediate experience, but we also do it for the memories.
Yeah.
And if, like, you know, if I'm going to be dead in a couple of days, like, really? Now I'm going to hop on a plane and go look at Machu Picchu? It's like, hey, finally saw it.
We only got 15 minutes to enjoy it.
That was awesome. And, yeah.
This is your captain speaking. We're going to have a bit of a layover here. I'm sure you guys don't mind.
I would probably lay...
Inspector Gadget will be playing in the overhead projector.
I would probably lay in a lot of chocolate cake and ice cream.
Lay in it?
Well, lay in as in stock up on.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'd fill the larders, if you will, which is another way. Yes, which is another
That's
way.
That's flattering right there.
And,
fill the larders.
And who knows? Maybe I would actually go, I would actually make a few phone calls and see if I could find somebody in town who could hook me up with some cocaine. I haven't done it in like, God, 20 years.
Yeah.
But you know something? What the hell?
Well, yeah, and plus...
I'm going to worry about addiction at this point? An asteroid is hitting the Earth.
With the cocaine, you only have 7 days left. And now that equates to what? Like...
And I'll get way more energy. Have a lot. I'll be awake for a lot more of it.
You'll be able to appreciate every last minute of your last days on Earth. So I would say, yeah, I would say try every possible substance you've ever, like, toyed around with.
Heroin. I'd never tried heroin. Maybe
that's
we
a sleepy
that.
Drug, though.
Yeah,
that makes you, that
I would
you
lose. The... I would lose some of those precious hours.
I would say maybe as like the last couple hours as the meteor is coming closer, because that's when the lines for the cool rides are going to be really really long.
Yeah.
You want to be just wrapped in a blanket of
and
awesome
ecstasy. Yeah, ecstasy, because that you know.
Done ecstasy. I have done ecstasy.
Fun. It has its benefits.
I've discovered, though, if you've never done it before and you don't know what the effects are on you, don't sit and watch Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas expecting it to have sort of like a psychedelic feel to it. Because really, when you're that happy and comfortable and your sort of your pleasure center has gotten the doors kind of taken off the hinges and everything else, that's like a bad thing to get thrown into the mix of the whole thing. It's just watching Hunter Thompson going bat-ass crazy in a Vegas hotel room.
Well, similarly, what's the voodoo movie where the guy gets buried alive?
The Believers?
No, they I think it's a Clive. Was it a Clive Barker thing?
Serpent in the Rainbow.
Mm. I saw Serpent in the Rainbow on ecstasy.
Oh man, nice.
That was an interesting experience.
There were Bill Pullman gets zombified.
Yeah, and he also there's this terrifying sequence where he's been paralyzed with the voodoo jungle
zombie
drug,
powder.
And then there's this whole sequence where he's like put in a coffin and buried underground, and he's awake and he's aware that it's going on, and I was like. On the one hand, I felt great, but on the other hand, I was also on drugs, and it was not a good movie choice. Let me tell you, it really wasn't. We've gotten a little, I think we've gotten a little off of the
How we've gotten
science
from meteorites to.
That was your science on the march.
That was indeed your science on the march for this day. So.
Oh, there we go.
I don't know why I'm playing that again.
Also, anything I could buy on credit.
Oh yeah,
if the world was coming to an end.
See, I think that if I could somehow get wind of the end of days, like when it was going to be, I would go in for every like high percentage loan I could and
just
stock up.
Go to Rent-A-Center,
yeah,
and get like you know, the big screen TV and the Xbox and all of that stuff. No, you know. No, just put me on the payment plan. I'm good for it.
Yeah, I would get a really really fast car. And and just do a lot of just drive out to a lot of flat areas where there's nothing I can hit.
Yeah,
and suck up a lot of booze, a lot of firearms, and fireworks. Basically, a lot of things that explode. I'd go and party
just
with some
go
militia.
Blow some stuff up.
Yeah, I mean, if the Earth is effed anyway, let's leave it as much of a train wreck as we possibly can. So when the meteor gets you, it's like, oh, looks like somebody already got here before I had a chance to. So.
Well, that was your science, so we're done with that. Okay. Bringing down the room a little bit, Penn State's trustees fired football coach Joe Paterno and university president Graham Spanier late Wednesday.
It's not going to work here anymore, if I can tell you that much.
A move that prompted thousands of the school's students to take to the streets and riot. The New York Times reports that the mob flipped over a news van, tore down lampposts, and threw rocks and cans. The police responded with riot gear and tear gas, although as of Thursday morning, State College Police said they were still gathering information on any possible arrests. The decision to oust Paterno came on the same day that the legendary coach announced that he would retire at the end of the season. The 84-year-old Paterno told reporters, "Right now, I'm not the football coach, and I've got to get used to that. After 61 years, I've got to get used to it." And he said, "Let me think it through." Paterno will be replaced as head coach by defensive coordinator Tom Bradley. Provost Rodney Erickson will be the interim school president.
Yeah, we talked about this on Court and Fat. And being from Pennsylvania, I know firsthand what Joe meant, not just to the school, but to the state at large. He was like a pillar of pride that a lot of us kind of hung our hats on because of the accomplishments that he was able to pull off. Unfortunately, a good laptop builder, he was not. Hence the crappy feedback. I'm just going to pot that down.
Okay.
But yeah, ultimately, it just it crushes more than just his legacy. It's done a lot of damage to everyone. And I know part of me wants to say, well, he wasn't the one that committed these crimes. I don't understand why he has to be the one that suffers the most, because ultimately that's how it's being played out. Obviously, he didn't do anything when he found out about it. If he would have gotten rid of this guy, there's any number of ways it could have been done discreetly where the families could have received the justice that they desperately needed, and this guy could have not caused the irreversible damage to the reputation that Penn State has spent the last 60 years building up. So it's just a shame that this is how 60 years, yeah, more than half a century of coaching and of pride generating for the state of Pennsylvania, that this is now how it all has to kind of play out, you know.
And yeah, and that is a shame. That really is. And my other thoughts on the thing, and I mentioned this I believe on Facebook last night. My other thing is that you'd think at this point in my life I would have such a cynical viewpoint of humanity that I would not be shocked and dismayed by people anymore.
Yeah.
And yet constantly I am. And it's like much in the same way that I was just appalled that the NFL, you know, took Michael Vick back with open arms.
You're going to add to the dumping on me today? Is that what this is? You're just going to, as I'm sporting my Philadelphia Eagles lanyard?
I got to say, I am not a football fan.
Yeah.
I don't follow football. I have no investment in football. I do love animals very,
yeah,
very much. And I also am an owner have been owner of pit bulls. And I know what wonderful, sweet dogs they are. And it just killed me to read the Michael Vick stuff.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that. I try to give people some credit and imagine that anyone who has actually familiarized themselves with what Vic and his cronies actually did to those animals could not. I mean, if they're actually supporting him in some way, they never read, you know, the Sports Illustrated article on his compound. They don't know the things that those people did.
Yeah.
So I just go, you must just be, you know, ignorant. But the thing is, over and over again, we just see that people have this blind spot when it comes to sports, that someone can be horrible to the point of being evil, and they'll still go,
provided they give you something to be proud of.
But as long as we get to watch them play that game, as long as our team gets to play, our big steroid filled jocks get to throw their balls around, you know, we're willing to forgive the behavior of individuals who do just abhorrent things. And this is another situation like that where it's like, you know, I do kind of have some sympathy, you know, for the situation that Paterno was probably in. He's an old guy. He's old school. There was a time, like, you know, look at the Catholic Church. You say,
yeah,
you know, we're going to just try and take care of this, you know, in-house.
Quietly,
and
yeah,
do it quietly and just kind of sweep it under the rug. And that way no one's reputation is injured. And he's probably thought to himself he was protecting the reputation of the school by, you know, taking care of it, you know, quietly and not dealing with it the way that it should have been dealt with. But the same thing is the people that I am appalled by are the people who are rioting, the people who are saying that no, Paterno shouldn't step down. He should stay at his job because we need him to coach our football team.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, your football team is not the most important thing in this story.
Yeah. The families of the victims, you know, their rights being completely overshadowed by the fact that the person that this affects is such a high profile individual. I will say this, though, about Michael Vick. I am not here to defend him. I am also a fierce lover of animals, especially dogs. And I find what Michael Vick and his cronies done to be unconscionable. I will say, however, he did serve out his sentence, and it was like real prison time. It wasn't like Lindsay Lohan spends 45 minutes in a county holdup that totally washes away the 6 months that she's supposed to be serving. He went, he did his time. The fact that he was brought back, I think, you know, I feel that there should be more done by him for the benefit of like PETA, mm-hmm. or some kind of a.
And he has done. He does say that he is sorry and that he learned that what he was doing was wrong. I have a hard time believing that anyone could do the things he did and not know it was wrong when it was happening,
yeah.
and that you'd figure it out later. You know, like, oh, really? Starving and killing and baiting dogs and using something called a rape stand to breed them and things like that. I know now that that was not a way to treat an animal.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is that my question is, if he was not as good of a football player, would he have been hired by a team?
No.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. If it all comes down to what marketability you still have left. And... like I said, I'm not gonna try and defend him in any way, because it's not really my job in that capacity. I will say, like I said, when someone commits an atrocity like this and serves the time that they do, the opportunity for them to have served their time has to be taken into consideration.
And we as a society, we like to believe that people can be rehabilitated. And
yeah.
we believe that people do their time and they should get another chance.
Yeah.
I have an issue sometimes, and this is just a personal feeling. As Don Taylor, I believe that there are actions that people do occasionally that are unforgivable.
Yeah.
That's me, though. That is just me. And so I can't, you know, I can't speak for anybody else or for society at large.
Yeah. And no, absolutely. Again, like I said, if time has been served, I feel that the opportunity to try and rehabilitate should at least be offered. You know, whether or not it's accepted by everyone.
And he's actually done quite a lot of work with Humane Society as part of trying to, you know, get his reputation back and that sort of thing. That doesn't mean that I would not reflexively hit the gas pedal and run him down if he was crossing the street in front of me when I was in traffic. But, you know, he has done the things that he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, so. Meanwhile, let's do a little bit of entertainment news
shift
before
gears
we
here?
Get out of here. Yeah.
Things were going so well.
Speaking of kids and rapiness and all that sort of thing, you, Jim Woolley, could wake
whoa,
up.
Whoa, whoa, what, bud?
You, Jim Woolley, could wake up in the same spot where Michael Jackson didn't wake up from again. Because his deathbed is hitting the auction block.
Sweet.
The queen size bed is just one of the many items.
Queen size, is it a fat joke on my behalf?
No.
Like, I couldn't get like a twin sized Michael Jackson deathbed.
There's only one Michael Jackson deathbed, and
all right.
It's queen size. You take what you get. The queen size bed is one of many items from the Holmby Hills home where Michael Jackson died that will be included in an auction event next month. The bed is said to still be in good shape, but the linens have been changed.
Still in good shape.
So
well, yeah.
So the death sheets are not there. They were probably forensic evidence.
Well, yeah, and then you got to kind of pay a little extra for that.
Other items included in the auction are a mirror from Jackson's, quote, inner sanctum, a private bedroom in the home where no one else was allowed to enter. A rep for Julian's auction says the mirror contains an inspirational message Jackson scribbled on the piece for himself regarding his This Is It concert tour. It says, train, perfection, March, April, full out, May. You wrote that on the mirror.
That's deep. That's deep.
The auction is scheduled to take place on December 17th.
So you want to go in on that? You want to see if we can maybe get the deathbed?
Get the deathbed?
Yeah.
We might be able to, I bet Rick would go in on it. He loves his death memorabilia.
Yeah, clearly.
You wonder why.
I don't know. It's kind of like somebody else's, somebody else's leftovers, you know. He doesn't like to sort of cherry pick when somebody's already kind of done their job. He wants the bed of one of the people that have fallen victim to him.
Right. He's He's trying to get that Bill Keene bed.
Yeah.
Now, as we
family, I always imagine the Family Circus guy having like a hammock. Like I don't know why that sort of sticks in my head, but like he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's a bed sleeper.
We didn't talk about this on this show yesterday because there was no show here yesterday, but we talked about it on the Rick Emerson show that Brett Ratner, because of generally being a douchebag, was asked to step down as producer of the Oscar telecast this year. And Eddie Murphy, who was going to host, followed suit. The Academy has hired producer Brian Grazer to take over the Oscar telecast. The producer of A Beautiful Mind will replace Brett Ratner, who resigned as producer after coming under fire for making a lot of really stupid
horrible mistakes.
No word yet on who will be tapped to take over the hosting duties. Entertainment Weekly speculated that Grazer could pick Tom Hanks, Steve Martin, or perhaps even Jason Bateman for the job. Meanwhile, there is a movement afoot, partially spearheaded by my friend Scott Weinberg of Movies.com, to get the Muppets to host
that would be
the Oscars.
Rad.
There is an actual Facebook page that has something like 24,000 members who are supporting that, the idea of getting the Muppets to host the Oscars. And also, Scott started a Twitter feed called Muppet Oscars, and that has something, as of this morning, it has something like 9,000 followers. I don't think it's a particularly good idea, but I can see why people would want to see it. You know, and it could be entertaining, but I don't know if that's really the appropriate place for it. But it certainly is an interesting idea.
Yeah.
So,
unfortunately, I've found that everyone since Frank Oz does a very poor Kermit impersonation. I know that you're only going to have one Frank Oz, and he was such a linchpin.
Well, it wasn't Frank Oz. It was
not Frank Oz. Who am I thinking of?
Jim.
Gary.
Why can't we remember the creator of the Muppets? Wow. This is a bad, bad moment. Where's the text box now?
Thomas Gill, if you're listening.
Where are my text box friends now? People are screaming.
Yeah, really. Like,
anyway, we'll have that in a moment. But some different people have been suggesting, for example, Stephen Colbert.
Ooh, yeah.
Someone else, I read another suggestion that was perhaps Lorne Michaels and Tina Fey. So,
I'd like to see Joss Whedon like kind of toss his hat into that ring just as a as a producer.
Well,
not
they
as,
already
like,
have
a
the producer. They did the host at this. Jim Henson, for the love of God, Jim Henson.
Not familiar. Is he a rapper? is he the hip hop?
What? Okay, so that's your entertainment news, and that is essentially your show. Frankly,
that's all you get.
That's what you get
for Thursday. That's it.
But
so.
For extra entertainment value, if you want later, you can listen to this and another show at the same time because we've discovered that works awesome.
And a third show of our choosing that will also air simultaneously along with today's
maybe Telemundo.
Ooh, yeah. That was my biggest fear, was that I would come in today to discover that the show was playing backwards and in Spanish, or like maybe like Esperanto, and people are just like rioting out in front of the studio, like burning us in effigy.
I can't believe we couldn't remember Jim Henson's name.
Shame. Well, I guess we were just distracted by everything else going so well.
That's it.
Well, Legion of News comes to you from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high atop the Milk Packing District in the heart of beautiful Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don, don't call me Jim Henson Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill. Our executive producer is Bruce Agler, and the chief of staff is Cheryl Kenakoa. Thank you so much for listening to this Legion of News. After this will be a brief musical interlude, after which the Rick Emerson Show without Rick Emerson will be aired. Our special guest today will be none other than the awesome Dwight Slade. It's interspersed with a series of other news stories that we will pick and choose.
And a penis watch.
We got a penis watch to look forward to. So thanks you once again for listening, and have a fantastic day.